Beloved brothers and sisters, members of our branch churches in and out of Korea, members of local sanctuaries, all those worshiping with us online, and GCN viewers, this is the 60th lecture on Genesis. In the last lecture, I explained how Adam built the three pyramids in Giza. Among the three, I'll be going into more detail about the internal structure of the Great Pyramid. On the screen, number one indicates the original entrance. There are two entrances, and the original entrance is number one. This entrance is located about 70 meters above ground and is currently sealed, so not anyone can enter it. Roughly 10 meters below the original entrance is another one, marked as number two on the screen. It is labeled as a robber's tunnel. This entrance is believed to have been made in the 9th century by El-Mamun, who was in search of treasure. Today, tourists enter the Great Pyramid through this entrance. You see the tunnel dug into it, right? They go down through that passage. Using the original entrance as a reference point, I'll explain the internal structure of the Great Pyramid. From entrance number one, there is a descending passage. The distance of this descending passage is about 105 meters, and it meets a shorter horizontal passage, which is about 9 meters long. This shorter passage leads to a small room. This is a room known as the subterranean chamber. It's labeled as number 3 on the screen. About 28 meters down the descending passage from the original entrance, the ascending passage begins. After following the ascending passage for about 40 meters, you will reach a junction. About in the middle of the triangular-shaped pyramid, things were carved out like chambers. One is the Grand Gallery, an ascending passage sloping at about 26 degrees. And the other is a horizontal passage. If you follow the horizontal passage, it leads to a room known as the Queen's Chamber. It's the one underneath Queen's Chamber. The Grand Gallery is 8.5 meters high and 46 meters long. It's labeled as number 5 on the screen. Continuing through the Grand Gallery leads to the place called the King's Chamber. You following me? The King's Chamber. It is marked as number 6 on the screen. There are four shafts inside the Great Pyramid, each about 20 centimeters wide and 20 centimeters high. Two lead to the Queen's Chamber and the other two to the King's Chamber. Also, at this intersection where the ascending passage meets with the Grand Gallery is a hall which leads to a shaft known as the Well Shaft, which connects with the descending passage below. These passageways and shafts were not carved out after the stones were stacked. What I mean is that the stones were originally stacked that way. In other words, those massive stones, every single one used to create those passageways, were already cut and fitted to align perfectly. This is something modern science simply cannot comprehend. The hardness of the stones is extremely high, and yet, long ago, how did they manage to make such precise holes? And how did they stack them so accurately to form those passageways? These things remain mysterious and beyond our misunderstanding. Except the entrance dug by the tomb robber, I mean, the robber assumed that the treasures must have been stored inside and dug into it. Except that passageway, all the passageways were formed while the stone were stacked according to the precise design. All those many stones, how all those many passageways were made, how was each stone around the passageways precisely drilled and cut that way? They were pre-drilled, brought and already prepared, and then all connected together. It's not that people dug out the passages after the pyramid was completed. Brothers and sisters, the king's chamber is a truly unique place. First off, the temperature inside remains steady at around 15.7 degrees in Celsius, regardless of the outside temperature. That area is a desert region, and the sunlight there is incredibly intense. The temperature can rise to around 45 degrees Celsius. And you think even it's inside would get extremely hot, but surprisingly, it doesn't. The temperature consistently stays around 15.7 degrees Celsius. Also, the size of the king's chamber, including its width, length, and various architectural proportions, was designed based on the golden ratio. The golden ratio is 1 to 1.6. So to speak, the size of the king's chamber, including its width, length, was designed based on the golden ratio. Namely, the ratio is 1 to 1.6. That ratio is said to be the most visually harmonious proportion to the human eye. That's why it is widely used in architecture, sculpture, and painting. I said earlier that there are two small shafts in the king's chamber. If you extend the line of the shaft of the northern wall, it reaches the north star. You can see it there now. If you extend the line northward, it aligns exactly with the north star. That's the precise point of alignment, specifically with the king's chamber. Polaris is the name of the star whose apparent position is close to the celestial north pole. For reference, does the position of the North Star always coincide with the celestial North Pole or not? Do they always coincide with the with each other? Yes or no? Due to the Earth's tilted rotational axis, the celestial poles slowly shift over time. As a result, the North Star does not align perfectly with the celestial North Pole. The King's Chamber is located about 50 meters above the base. with the Great Pyramid standing about 148 meters tall. The chamber is about one-third up from the base. So if you divide it into three, the chamber is located in the first third. It is said that a unique force or energy operates in this space, located at one-third of the height of the square pyramid. Many phenomena take place which can't be explained by modern science. Later, I will tell you in detail what they are and why they are happening. Brothers and sisters, people consider the Great Sphinx as another wonder along with the Great Pyramid of Giza. The Sphinx stands in front of the middle pyramid among the three. It has a human head and a lion's body. It has a human head and a lion's body, and it faces east. It has a human head and a lion's body facing east. As for why it faces east, you can understand that from the Bible. It is about 74 meters long and 20 meters high. This Sphinx was carved from a single block of stone. It's amazing that such a massive stone exists, and also that the Sphinx was carved out of this single stone. So just imagine how enormous the original stone must have been. Such a massive stone was carved into the Sphinx. And yet, despite the passage of countless years, it remains so well preserved. This should truly leave you in awe. How could such a massive stone have been transported, and from where? The answer is that Adam brought it from the Garden of Eden. Then why did Adam place such a figure in front of the pyramids? The Sphinx represents one of the cherubim who assisted Adam. Just as there are powerful angels, there were also powerful cherubim. When the pyramids were built, many powerful cherubim were mobilized. That's why the construction was completed in a relatively short time. Among them was one cherub who both commanded the other groups and protected Adam. He was the leader of the mighty cherubim. This cherub held a sword in his hand and would carry Adam on his back. He also possessed various other abilities, playing a crucial role when Adam built the pyramids. The cherubim significantly helped Adam in building the pyramids. In recognition of this, Adam had the image of this cherub carved and placed in front of the pyramids, which is the Sphinx. In the Garden of Eden as well, the cherubim serve roles like keeping the enemy devil from invading the garden. It's recorded that they guard the east of the garden. The Sphinx was also carved facing east. It appears as though it is guarding the three pyramids. If you look at ancient Egyptian murals, you'll often see strange creatures that are neither fully human nor fully animal. If you go to Egypt and visit their museums, you'll see many such figures. There are figures with the head of a falcon and the body of a human, or with the head of a dog and a human body. In Greek mythology, there are even beings with the upper body of a human and the lower body of a horse. Are all these simply products of imagination? While some may come from imagination, many of them are actually modeled after the cherubim from the Garden of Eden. After Adam was driven out to this earth, as these beings were talked about by later generations, mythological elements were added. Just as there are many different kinds of animals on earth, there are a great many kinds of cherubim. Among them, some were assigned to guard Adam and protect the Garden of Eden. God had the Garden of Eden protected by cherubim and a rotating flaming sword. Let me add one more thing here. When Adam built the pyramids, the roles of the cherubim and Adam's descendants were clearly distinct. As mentioned earlier, the cherub represented by the Sphinx provided significant help in the construction. The cherubim's primary role during that time was to guard Adam and maintain watch. Of course, the stronger cherubim also took part in physical tasks like moving large stones. However, the majority of the work in building the pyramids was carried out by Adam's descendants. Under Adam's leadership, many came down and joined the construction. They worked in a highly organized and systematic manner. Among Adam's descendants, those with skills and expertise in each field were mobilized. You need to understand how advanced the science in the Garden of Eden is. Also, while the history of humanity on this earth is only about 6,000 years, the history of the Garden of Eden spans an unimaginable length of time. There were also travels between the garden and the earth. According to Adam's intent, some drew up the blueprints and others handled all the calculations for the design. These were people with the highest level of mathematical knowledge. There were also those who selected suitable workers for the construction. In addition, others were in charge of gathering materials, such as those responsible for minerals, for stones, etc. For example, let's say they were producing a UFO, then they would need to get all the materials required for it, wouldn't they? Just like on Earth, where we mine for iron, gold, silver, and all kinds of copper, they too would need people who mined, processed, and made things. They were also those who cut the gathered materials to the proper size and processed them according to their purpose. It was the same in the Garden of Eden. Things didn't just appear instantly. For example, UFOs were not created by God's word. They were made by people in the Garden of Eden. Just as we need blueprints, materials, and technology to build an airplane, the same was true for making UFOs. The people of Eden processed and cut the raw materials to make them. So, even in the field of UFO production, things were highly organized, finely divided, and specialized. There were those who built, those who inspected, and those who managed. Then, how well organized must the entire system of the Garden of Eden have been? Under Adam as the head, all necessary fields were structured and everything operated in order and harmony. Interestingly, one of Korean UFO researchers believes that the pyramids are related to UFOs. He is Professor Meng Sung-yeol, the Korean representative of MUFON, the world's largest UFO organization. In the field of identifying UFOs captured in photographs, he is the most trusted expert in Korea. Let me share part of an interview published last June in Dongha Daily. When asked what connection there could be between pyramids and UFOs, he answered, "Neither can be explained by modern science. I had heard since I was young that the pyramids were mysterious structures, but seeing them in person was beyond anything I'd imagined." Mainstream archaeologists say that the pyramids were built around 4,500 years ago. That would mean so-called primitive people who only had stone and bronze tools built such structures. No matter how much labor was poured into it, it's easy to see that it would have been impossible. What we can say for sure is that a highly developed civilization existed on Earth in ancient times. According to the professor, if that civilization had continued to this day, they would surely have been capable of creating inventions far beyond the level of modern science like UFOs. That's how I came to form the hypothesis that the beings who built the pyramids and those who created UFOs might actually be the same. Like this, researchers who study based on factual evidence eventually arrive at the truth. Therefore, both the scientific and Christian communities shouldn't turn a blind eye to this truth. It's because even today, UFOs appear frequently around the world. Even on January 28th of this year, a UFO was captured on close-up video in Jerusalem. The UFO hovered in the sky for a while, slowly descended, and then quickly ascended at a very high speed. When Adam completed the construction of the pyramids, God created a special space within the pyramid where spirit and flesh could coexist. He opened a spiritual gate that led to the second heaven. This was a special provision from Father God for Adam, who often traveled between the earth and the Garden of Eden. Through this, Adam could travel between the places much more easily and quickly. I once mentioned that the black holes serve as a passage connecting the first heaven and the second heaven. When one is pulled into the black hole, they are ultimately transported to the second heaven. In the king's chamber as well, there was a spiritual gate connecting to the spiritual realm. This gate was shut after Adam sinned. The door to the spiritual world is not something that anyone can open and close at will. As I explained before, when we speak of the spiritual gate, it's not only found where clouds appear and disappear. If God opens it right here, then we can simply enter through that spiritual door. If He opens it, some may wonder, well, there's absolutely nothing. How could there be a spiritual gate and the spiritual space? That's our limitation, the limitation of human knowledge. So, we are unable to think beyond that. However, God always shows us that there is another world beyond our knowledge and limits. through signs, wonders, and mighty works. And he's demonstrating that the works written in the Bible are true, isn't he? The Bible is full of such signs, wonders, and powers that go beyond what our human knowledge. So when Joshua, for example, commanded the sun and the moon stand still, and they did, when the Red Sea parted and the people crossed, and a star moved and led the three wise men to Bethlehem, since they are recorded in the Bible, they're all true. If we rely on human knowledge and think, oh, that was made up by the writer, how could a star possibly move like that? Then we are wrong. The gate to the spiritual realm is not something that just anyone can open or close at will, only when it's according to the justice. If there was someone who possesses the authority to open and close spiritual spaces like Adam, he'd be indeed able to open that door again. But for the simple fact that there is a gate leading to the second heaven, the spiritual realm, there is a unique energy at work in the king's chamber. Though it is invisible to the physical eye, the chamber is directly connected to the spiritual world. That's why Father God said that if scientists measured the waves or energy in that space, they would discover a highly unusual phenomena. Let me share a few related cases. A French scientist named Antoine Bovis discovered that in the king's chamber, the bodies of a dead cat and a mouse did not decay but became dehydrated instead. In that space, decomposition did not occur. Also, a Czech electrical engineer named Carol Drubal conducted an experiment to see if dull razor blades could be restored inside a pyramid model. When he placed the blades aligned in an east-west direction, the blades became sharp again. In 1979, an American couple, Dr. and Mrs. Nelson, used a Killian camera to scientifically prove the energy flow inside a pyramid. Killian photography captures light or energy fields around an object which are invisible to the human eye. When they photographed the pyramid, they captured an image of energy emitting from the top point of the pyramid in the shape of a double helix similar to that of DNA. Because of such mysterious phenomena, some researchers claim that the pyramids have the ability to concentrate some cosmic energy within their structure. There are quite a few people who have testified to having spiritual experiences inside the pyramids. First, when Napoleon invaded Egypt in 1789, he showed great interest in the pyramids. He brought with him many archaeologists, astronomers, surveyors, and engineers, and had them explore and measure the pyramids and draw up plans. And Napoleon spent the night alone in the king's chamber of the Great Pyramid. The next morning, Napoleon came out of the pyramid visibly shaken, as if he had been deeply startled by something. His aides asked if something troubling had happened, but he said nothing. Years later, when Napoleon was nearing the end of his life, one of his close aides asked him, "Did something really happen in that chamber?" Napoleon was about to say something, but then avoided answering, saying, "You would never believe me, so what's the point of telling you?" In 1931, a British journalist, Paul Brunton, also spent a night alone in the King's Chamber. He described his experience in detail in his book, A Search in Secret Egypt. He claimed to have had a unique spiritual experience inside the chamber. At one point, some mysterious beings appeared before him, beings that seemed friendly and merciful. They were dressed like high priests of the ancient Egyptian religion. He described them as radiant beings with a noble presence that was half divine and half human. Paul Brunton said he was laid upon a sarcophagus and his soul was separated from his body. The mysterious beings then guided his soul to the place called the Hall of Learning. There, they delivered a message, "The Creator loves all things." They also shared knowledge about ancient civilizations, saying that the pyramids were built during the time of Atlantis. He was told of when the pyramids were built. According to the Egyptian legend, Atlantis was a great civilization that flourished around 9600 BC. A man named Edgar Cayce also claimed that those who built the pyramids were Atlanteans. He is also known as a world-renowned psychic healer and a person with spiritual abilities. While in a hypnotic trance, he stated that the pyramids were built before 10,000 BC and that during their construction, some force present in nature was used to lift and move the stones in the air. There are many others who have had mystical experiences. Some claim that while they were alone in the king's chamber, they heard sounds like a choir singing. Everyone who meditated in that room gave similar testimonies of having had spiritual experiences. According to the Bedouins who lived near the pyramids, a bluish, divine light periodically appears at the top of the pyramid and circles around it. This blue light has been seen for hundreds of years. The more the pyramids are studied, the more mystery they seem to hold. Perhaps this is only natural. So, aside from these pyramids, there are many other pyramids. They are not as grand as the three and of completely different kinds. Completely different. They are structures that can be built by human hands, but these three are totally different. So you shouldn't say, aren't there many other pyramids too? They are completely different. They were the ones that could be built by royal power, wealth, and larger numbers of laborers. But the three great pyramids are not like them. Also, the builders of the pyramids were not people of this world, but Adam and his descendants from the Garden of Eden who had a highly advanced civilization. Those who are unaware of this fact turn their eyes to the universe, because no matter how much they study, they are bound to reach a conclusion that people of this earth couldn't build the pyramids. In other words, the more we study this, the more mysterious we find it. They are filled with mysterious things that our science cannot explain, whether it's the skills used to stack the stones, carve them, or create the passageways I mentioned earlier, the way that aligns perfectly with the North Star, or how the passageways were built in precise ways, even setting aside to achieve such precise measurements so long ago, their civilization must have had the highest levels of mathematics and geometry. Back to the point, they are bound to reach the conclusion that people of this earth couldn't build the pyramids. That's why more and more people claim that the pyramids were built by beings from outer space. But how clearly and simply everything would make sense if these people heard this message? It would lead them to believe that the Bible is true and that the Creator God is still alive today. In the next session, I'll share Adam's confession to God after the completion of the pyramids, along with a few other mysterious events besides the pyramid. Let me conclude the message, brothers and sisters. Today, we've looked into the inner structure of the Great Pyramid and the unusual phenomena associated with it. Then, what do all these facts have to do with our Christian life? By learning these things, we can believe all the more firmly that the Bible is true and that God governs human history. The Bible, history, and science are not separate from one another. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "All scripture is inspired by God. The Bible contains deep and condensed truths that can be understood only under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Human history began when Adam sinned and was cast out from the Garden of Eden to the earth. This human history is just the tip of the iceberg. Just as the largest part of an iceberg lies hidden beneath the surface, the period before human history is much longer. And that pre-human history, from the very beginning, is being revealed through this Genesis lecture series. It is only possible because our God has revealed it to us. And who is this God? He is our Father. Brothers and sisters, Psalm chapter 82 verse 6 says, brothers and sisters, I encourage you to live as children of God with spiritual pride. I pray in our Lord's name that you will resemble God, become holy and complete, and glorify Him in all affairs.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.